Hey friends, I go by Chavid Dang.
Yo fam, I'm Dine Peace.
You're listening to Sit Down, Be Hungry.
If it ain't shabu, we ain't hot potting.
Welcome to Sit Down, Be Hungry, episode 29. We celebrated Anchoy Bep's 2-year anniversary. We got the juicy bits, including an Oreo cookie record player. We got a Vietnamese soup edition of Sauce Sunny with special guest DJ Pho Show and more. Episode 28. I got 29. I got pretty nails, bitch. Yeah. Be hungry.
Be hungry. What the fuck? This is episode 29.
That's like been the most like scripted sounding one ever, but I'm with it.
Welcome to Sit Down, Be Hungry. This is Dine Peace.
This is Chavid.
Welcome.
Episode 29.
Damn, that's crazy.
We're getting there. We're getting there. Thank you for listening, guys. Thank we always you. Appreciate it.
I want to shout out Hello Wings Plus.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I was like, it's been a while, actually.
Because they used my photo in their promos.
And past guest Champagne Ninang's photo.
Yes. Actually, a lot of our friends' photos.
And Sophia.
Yes.
So, yeah, we've been out there.
Thank you, Hello Wings Plus. Sponsor us.
Yeah, we're getting there. Baby steps, baby steps. So, do you have any shout outs this week? Besides that one?
I want to shout out my team that helped me with Anchoy Bep's second
birthday.
My shout out.
That was going to be mine too, but okay, go
That's
on.
Fine.
I'll expand on it.
So shout out to Nina, Jen, Trevor, Prita, Lucas. Thank you so much for helping me and helping me execute this. It was a beautiful day.
So for the listeners, what are you thanking them for?
They helped me do Anchoy Bep's second anniversary.
Oh boy, was it a second anniversary. I guess we'll get into a full recap of that in a little bit. But
do you have any shout outs?
Yeah, actually, I was going to give it to you, too, for 2 years. I was really Yay! Proud and excited for you. Like, it's all for you this time.
I'm patting my shoulder.
It's all for you. 2 years. I remember I didn't know you that well for the first one at Burt Room, the a la carte menu. Was it Burt Room?
It was the Burt Room.
Yeah. Past guests on the show, Patrick was spinning. I remember that was the first time I had the infamous pate chaud. It was raining. I was carted off to Europe after that, but it's been a wild ride for those last 2 years. So
it's been crazy.
My shout out was for you for creating an amazing night last night.
I appreciate it.
I enjoyed every dish. So we'll get to it dish by dish later on. But I guess before that too, can I go into some of the stuff I've had recently?
Of course.
Okay. So was it last week? A couple weeks ago, by the time this comes out, I went to Masego show in Oakland, met up with Baby Jazz of Good Company Radio and some of her homies.
Hyphy wifey.
And we finally got to scope out Reem Esil's new place in Oakland, Diafa. Oh my God. So shout out to other friend of the show too. They went a while ago and they asked us to go and I think we're busy at the time, so we couldn't make it. So because the show was at New Parish, we're like, you trying to get some food before the show? And I was like, wait a minute. If we have time, let's go. So it's
but you miss Van Jess because of it.
I did, but like, you know, this is probably a pretty fair trade-off, right?
Yeah. Van Jess was very dope.
So we got to have Reem's, one of her dishes early this year.
Asian Art Museum.
Yeah. When they did the Chef's Hawker Center Festival, we got to try a bunch of things from a lot of great people.
Such great.
And Reem was there, and I think she did, what did she do? She did some kind of a bread, right? I mean, she's known for doing these amazing breads.
Dude, there was so much food consumed that night, I don't remember.
Yes, but I do remember it was delicious, above all. But finally got to go to, you know, where she set up permanent shop. I think it's a collaboration between her and Daniel Patterson. So, I mean, if you listen to the show, you know who Daniel Patterson is. Of local, of qua, Michelin star dude. So you know there's some good names behind this, but man... I feel like...
Can we talk about that hummus dish?
Yeah, I'm getting there. So, I mean...
We need to talk about
I was setting the stage.
We
so,
have
like,
to talk about
you know, living in the Bay, like we brag about every show, sorry. We have access to so much good food here. And because of that, I eat a lot of... I think all of us, we probably eat a lot of good Mediterranean food. Like,
for sure.
I eat Mediterranean food once a week, once every other week, you know. And this place definitely still blew me away for just how refined everything was, but still chill. How flavorful things were for things I already kind of expected, but even to heighten those expectations. So one, to start, they have like 4 different types of breads. You know, some of just like normal pitas, some with like za'atar on them, some with like seasonal veggies on them. They have a chickpea pancake that's amazing. But we started with mutabal, which is a charred eggplant and lemon tahini dip for the breads. That was amazing. But yeah, the highlight I was telling you already off the take was this hummus kawarma, which I think was my highlight of the night. It was like this... For one, the creamiest, like most flavorful, smooth hummus I've ever had, but it was topped with crispy lamb.
Ugh.
Like I was telling you, I know, right? I was telling you when we were going early this weekend, even though it was an open kitchen, I didn't see them making this dish, but it kind of felt like what you would expect with carnitas, like slow cooked, like all day meat and then just fried to be crispy at the end. That's what it felt like, but for lamb. And like, you know, we eat a lot of lamb, I think you and I.
I love lamb.
I've never had lamb like particularly like this before. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, that with their homemade pita bread.
Oof.
I would go back for just that, but we had a lot of other amazing things that night. Their lamb shank was amazing.
On Saturday when you told me about it, I was like salivating.
No, you were like yelling in the car.
I need this.
So yeah, the hummus kawarma at Diafa. If you haven't had it yet, go change your life. And
treat yourself.
If you've already changed your life with it, yeah, you'll see what I'm talking about. The lamb shank was amazing. The other surprising highlight was their vegetarian like big entree. It was a makluba. So it was layered rice, roasted eggplant, cauliflower, charred tomato, and crispy potatoes. When I say crispy potatoes, it felt like homemade kettle chips on the top. That was amazing as well. The cocktails were insanely good. No complaints. You know, we went before the show. Like, the food came quickly. The desserts were great. Overall, all I have to say is we have to go back.
I'm down. I'm down.
Like, anytime you're back on my side of the bridge, we have to go back. So, Reem and Daniel, you guys did your damn thing. I know I'm late to the party, but I'm just glad I'm at the party now. Whew. Okay, so that was delicious. Shout out to Dookie. We went to Sunday Bird, tucked in the back of the Fillmore Boba guys.
Yes.
And I think notoriously now, because you know he's been written up so much about it, like he loves to talk about how much he failed when this started, right?
Yeah. No, I've gone twice to Sunday Bird, and at first I was like, it's cool.
Yeah. And you know, Dookie knows this too.
Dookie
like
knows. He talked about it.
Yeah. So I mean, you know,
the Asian art episode.
You know, he did his damn thing in New York, which if you read about him, you know, obviously, or if you follow him. And this was his first venture into the West Coast. Like, he just wanted to start fresh and do a new concept. And he admits, like, it sucked when he started it. He was serving undercooked chicken. You know, he just didn't have it together. But, you know, I think he did some soul searching and he really made it happen with turning it around.
The popcorn chicken with the rice cake, fried rice cake. Mm-hmm. So good.
The birdies.
The birdies.
Yeah. So again, our guest who you'll meet later in the show. Yeah, he pulled up and we're like, oh, yo, this is a thing. So we pretty much got all like the family style shareable dishes that were like, we're not for like just one person. So we didn't get the sandwich. We did get the wings. We got the milk buns. We got the fries. We did the corn cheese with the hot Cheeto toppings on it.
Yes, so good.
Which was really nice. I think that was a lot. And I already named a lot, but yeah, that's all we got. And this was like our appetizer before your dinner.
So early in the day, our guest later on was like, I was like, oh, you should hit up Jordan or Chavid.
Either's fine.
Whatever.
I don't care.
And he's trying to go to Sunday Bird before the dinner because, you know, Chavid likes to be doing the most all the time.
Yeah. So, our guest met up with us and we're in Japantown area. So if you know, Boba Guys has plenty of locations, but only the Fillmore location does Sunday Bird. Also, if you want even other versions of Dookie's food, you can go get Sunday at the Museum at the Asian Art Museum. And that's amazing
as
well.
Or you could buy his cookbook.
Yeah, or you can get his meal pack at Target. He's doing things right now.
Yes.
Was it the new chef thing came out, like Sexiest Chef?
Chef. He was on a Food Network. Sexiest Chef under 25 or something like that? I don't remember.
Sexiest Chef of some age. You know how we do. You can't tell how old we are. So anyways, you know, good job, Dookie. You definitely turned Sunday Bird into like a destination. The line was longer than I expected when I walked up.
Oh, yeah.
The boba was great. Boba guys always did their thing, which I didn't know they started packaging when we went to Berkeley Bowl the other day. Yep. It was cool to see it in packages. So it's good to see those folks winning.
Yep.
So after walking that off, digesting a little bit, I think, you know, we have a little celebration to talk about.
Yo, I'm like on this crazy high right now because Enchoy Bup celebrated my second anniversary. I would say R because I have a lot of people are part of my team.
But it wouldn't be possible without you.
Yeah, dude. Like at work today, I didn't do much work today, but watch videos or, stories of everyone's experience at the dinner. And I was smiling ear to ear to the point where like my coworker was like, what are you doing? Like she noticed.
I'm not even speaking from a bias from someone, you know, like us. We all get to eat a lot of great things, but I think you consistently outdo yourself. And yesterday was no different.
Yeah.
I mean, the benefit of coming here the day after is we get some of the leftovers. We have a big vat of the lemon chili oil.
Yes.
I'm just hoping people that listened yesterday.
Lemongrass.
Lemongrass chili oil. I'm just hoping people that went to the dinner yesterday, they're listening like, damn.
Yeah, no. Good Girl Dinette is a known Vietnamese restaurant in LA, and they just closed its doors after 9 years this month. And so Deep makes this lemongrass chili oil. I mean, I don't know the recipe, so I made one as a homage to them.
I think we're in a chili oil phase right now because, yeah, you know, last show was very gang. Chili oil heavy. You know, shout out to Honey. Shout out to Chungi.
Yeah.
It's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle.
So I'm glad we kept it going with this show.
So I did a dinner. It's called Bao Bei Mong, which is a seven course beef. Definitely do agree with you. I outdid myself. And so seven course beef is something I just didn't know when I would do it. Shout out to Hotel Majestic for letting me host my dinner there. Eight courses, 360 some odd plates. I'm a little broken right now, but it was all worth it. I'm very be tired. But yeah, I started off with a pho, fat popcorn.
Yo, this, I from asking around at the table, this was one of the biggest hits of the night because people were asking about it all night. But I love the evolution of how this came to be, right? Because this was after me bragging about my beef popcorn in London. So shout out to Flatiron that allowed me to enjoy your interpretation of this dish in a new way from my friend. For me at the table, people were like smelling it, like, oh, it smells just like it. So that was even like the hidden course because I didn't even put that on the menu.
Yeah. First, beef tongue and fennel, frisée, a blood orange vinaigrette, persimmon.
And panko. And
so many flavors. It's crazy.
Yo, and I was, again, the people I was sitting around at the table were all like, wow. Okay. But yeah, we got to get through all these
course
other courses.
Course two, bone marrow.
7-inch bone marrows is.
7-inch.
17 pounds total bone marrows.
Pretty accurate. Yeah. So it was a bone marrow.
Sorry, guys.
Bone marrow with banh mi, pickled daikon, and carrots with micro salats.
Which were very hard to get, but I'm glad it made it happen. Shout out to all the real ones that kept picking at the bones afterwards to get every last bit out of it. Because yes, everybody that knows you gotta work with those for a while.
Lemongrass beef sausage. And it's called ba la lot, which is the la lot is a betel leaf. People were like, wait, how did you find betel leaf? So New Mei Hua, shout out to New Mei Hua, who's been holding it down for me for a while. Lately, they haven't been carrying it, which makes me sad. But Berkeley Bowl always has.
That's gonna be my new sponsor us because I love Berkeley Bowl. And I think it was fun that you let everyone like activate their rice papers on themselves when you put the warm water out and everyone had to put like the uncooked rice paper out and everyone got to do it. That was awesome. So where'd we go after that? Hot pot.
Like, quote unquote hot pot. So one of the courses of Bao Bei Mong is it's called Bao Nyum Nyum, which is raw beef, lemongrass, coconut water, fondue. Very tasty.
Back when you're testing it, Flan and I were just amazed on how like amusing it was when you fry the rice paper.
You know, some people replied to the story and they're like, yo, you just blew my mind. I did not know that's how that works.
Not even just in IG stories. I think you did for a lot of the patrons that were at the dinner as well. Amazing.
Palate cleanser, otter pop,
mm-hmm.
Asian pear in a gram bag.
All these were on the sit down story, but at the time this comes out, those will be long gone. So maybe we'll add this as a highlight as well.
You can follow Anchoy Bup. I highlighted everything.
Okay, cool.
The best feedback I got was for the main dish, which was filet mignon bajal, typically done with some shank and some oxtail, and just braised for a jabillion hours with a lot of tomato, lemongrass, annatto flavors, boiled potatoes and carrots, and you dip like a good hearty French bread into it. So my take on that was a sous vide filet mignon with the flavors, turn the broth into a gravy, and then pureed carrots and tomatoes with baguette chips. And aesthetically beautiful. And what the guests were saying that was that it was it looks completely different from what a traditional bacalao is, but it tasted exactly like it, and it brought them home. So that was really exciting to hear that. And
took a shot of Remy with everyone because that's how we do. Yes,
just because reasons.
Because reasons. And then the dessert.
Yes.
The dessert course is, it's a café soda, which is Vietnamese coffee, a tres leches cake. So every year, my friend Jolene used to live in San Francisco, and that was what she requested for her birthday. All she wanted was a tres leches cake. So that kind of made me think about doing it for my Anchoy's birthday. And to make it, you know, add some Vietnamese flavors, all I really had to do was add Café du Monde coffee and boom. Vietnamese coffee tres leches. And I've kind of been making that a lot for other events. And so I guess it's kind of my go-to dessert now.
Oh, and then secret menu followed by twisted shots.
Oh, yeah. Twisted shots.
We got twisted. Just, I think we should stop that. If you don't know twisted shots, just Google it and go to BevMo.
I had so much fun yesterday.
Yo, I did too.
I was stressed out, but I had so much fun.
Oh, man. As did I. So thank you again.
I had mad FOMO in the kitchen because I heard like so much laughter and cheerings outside. I was like, I want to be with my friends.
Oh, there was table rivalry. Table one versus table two. And table one was definitely the cooler one because Flan and I were at it. Sorry to anyone at table two, including our guest. He's ducking
James
his head.
Like, fight me. Fight me.
So if you haven't been to an Anchoy Bab dinner or pop-up in general, now's your chance. Now that you kind of know what you're missing, come out soon because next year's...
I'll have more. I'm done for 2018.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's not much time left in it. Yeah. So see what's up next year.
It is now time for the Juicy Bits. This is where we talk about food news that you and your stomach need to know about.
All right, what do we have this week?
So this is from Food & Wine. This tiny record player plays Oreo cookies. Kind of. So you could buy this little cardboard box for about $20.
Yeah.
And basically, like, the little Oreo cookie is the record.
It's not a 45. It's not a 33. Would this be like a 70 or like a 80? I don't know. I don't know as much about records as you guys do.
I don't know what those numbers mean.
I just thought the bigger the number, the smaller the record was.
I don't know. I have no idea.
It kind of is the size of a 45 adapter almost.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you look at the picture, I wish it just looked a little like nicer. It's like a cardboard box that like has a space for the cookie on it. And it's got like a little plastic needle that comes out. So it doesn't actually play off the cookie because, you know, that's dumb. But
no, that would be cool if it actually
did. Like it can't really. It's not scientifically, at least as far as I know, possible. But it like rotates the cookie and then like music plays out of it.
That's pretty cool.
Because according to the thing, you can like record your own messages and program it into the thing. And then it spins the cookie and plays your message. I mean, we've covered Oreos a lot on this show.
I love Oreos.
But it's usually about flavors, right?
Yeah, true.
But now it's about flavors in your ear. Flavor in your ear. Spin the brand new flavor in your ear.
No more.
Their marketing team should have used me for that one. Would you get one?
No.
No?
That's just clutter that I don't want in my house. I think it's a really cute idea, though.
Yeah. I mean, when you buy it, it does come with cookies, though. So would you pay, like, the extra $17 to get one?
No. I don't think it's worth $17.
I meant, like, the price of a normal cookie pack plus what this would have been. Because it comes with cookies already when you buy it, too.
I would just get the cookies.
Yeah, I would probably,
but too. I hope someone else gets it so I can witness it.
Yeah, I would, like, buy it for someone just so I could see them, like, be like, what is this?
And the person who receives it, like, why the hell did you buy this for me?
Because they heard
this
on looks like, hungry,
this
that's
looks
why.
Like a present that was for you.
But, hey, that's kind of what you do, though, sometimes, right? You buy gifts for people that you would have wanted with thoughts that they'll just end up sharing or giving it to you anyway, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, that's how I care about Oreos.
This is from Munchies. Iceland's president walks back his desire to ban pineapple pizza. I went a step too far, he said.
By the way, the Munchies person, like the intern that did the illustration of this article, didn't try that hard. It's like a stock photo of a pineapple pizza slice with like a not even evenly cut out picture of the dude just like waving.
Yeah, it's like his upper torso only there's like a flat line at the bottom. Mm-hmm.
So apologies to any of our Icelandic listeners, but his name's really hard to pronounce.
I'm guessing it's Guðni.
I don't know what the TH stands for.
Yeah, Johannesson.
He's the sixth to hold that office in the country's history. And apparently he said some stuff that made some people mad.
Was it the people of Iceland upset or just the rest of the world was upset?
I think it's mainly the people because I think, you know, in a politically divided country, anything they say they could take and turn into something else, right?
For sure.
It talks about how he kind of did it as like a tongue-in-cheek, like little pun or like a joke or something. And of course, anything in politics, I mean, us included here in this country, take it way too seriously and then make it mean other things too.
That's why I thought like it wasn't all people in Iceland that were like upset about it. Cause like I would assume that most of those people have never even had pineapple. So you'd be upset about something.
Well,
that
they probably can get it. It's just probably expensive to get it to Iceland.
It's very expensive. And there's just...
Would you say it's a waste to put it on... You know what? We've never had this conversation on this show before. I mean, you know, that's the ongoing joke about do you like it on there or not?
No.
And because we've never, I think, solidified our opinions on this show, right? So are you a strong no person?
I'm a strong no unless it's from Kefiko.
Oh, okay.
Kefiko is good.
Yeah.
But remember I said they sliced it so thin that it was like almost dehydrated and it mimicked meat.
Ooh, that's interesting. Because I feel like, you know, your traditional Canadian bacon, Hawaiian pizza, which of course people should know is not from any of those things really that it says at all. It's terrible. Like,
yeah.
There's no way that's good at all. If you think that's good, you probably don't listen to this show.
I'm a purist. Pepperoni pizza only.
But when I was a kid, I liked weird combinations of other things. I would get it with sausage in it, like, work sometimes. Ooh. I don't think I've ever said anybody in my adult life that I did that as a kid.
You hear that, everybody.
I once in a while got pineapple and sausage on pizza. We had this conversation.
Please don't throw rocks at Chavid.
Or try. I might be too fast. We'll see.
Oh my goodness.
But I mean, this comment blew up and he got a lot of backlash for it, and now he regrets it.
Yeah, he kind of backpedaled and just kind of said, you know, it was just a joke.
Yeah, the article says, Iceland are a nation of fisher folk, and, you know, if everyone put seafood on their pizzas, that would be a very nice thing to do, he said. But I guess with pineapple, that's not the same.
He's all, I do not have the power to make laws which forbid people to put pineapples on the pizza. He clarified this on Facebook. I am glad that I do not hold such power. Presidents should not have unlimited power for pizzas. I recommend seafood.
Ooh, you hear that? Sounds like someone that eats well-done steak with ketchup should hear that.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is also from Food and Wine.
Ooh, doubleheader today.
Yeah. Inhalable booze balloons inch closer to the mainstream.
Mm.
Like right away before even knowing anything, I'm like, I want it.
The writer messed up on the headline. It should have been floated closer to the mainstream.
Oh. Hey, Food and Wine, Jordan's looking for extra income.
No, Chavid's looking for a sponsor.
All right.
That's what it really is.
The opening line is the best. If you ever said to yourself, I'd love to combine a club-like excitement of doing shots with the festival-like fun of inhaling nitrous. My only like hesitant thing about this is like, I don't want to look like that person doing nitrous.
Well, but if you're in the club though, and like it's a thing of the place, everybody will be doing it.
Yeah. I don't want anyone to like take a picture of me doing this and then posting it somewhere. And I'm like, it was alcohol, not nitrous. Yeah. I swear.
My voice sounds normal still. No, I'm just kidding. Totally. It wasn't. What's the one that makes you sound helium?
Helium.
It wasn't helium. What would be the first spirit you'd want to say?
I would do something light so I don't freak myself out. So maybe like a gin, drink.
Ooh, Aperol spritz. Is it making you excited for it?
I mean, yeah. I don't know about excited, but I definitely want it to happen.
I mean, I feel like here in the Bay Area, we tend to get trends pretty quickly. So I feel like if it starts to take off and become a thing.
I feel like something like this wouldn't pop off at like a Trick Dog or something like that. Like this is too kitschy for that. This is something that would happen at like Dave and Buster's.
You know what though? Like a lot of these cool experiences, it's definitely worth trying just so we can like experience it.
It's very soon.
All right, y'all. It's that time.
What time it is?
The most controversial bit on this podcast is called Saucin' on You. We give you three food items. You've got to pick one to never have again.
Dun, dun, dun.
We are joined by a very special guest this week, coming to us all the way from the Pacific Northwest.
From Seattle.
Seattle.
Seattle, yes.
It's DJ Fo Show out here, everybody.
What's good? What's good?
Woo!
Cuffin Seattle resident.
Cuffin Seattle. One of the founding fathers.
What other parties do you do?
I do a Domino's night.
Oh, yes.
Called Throw Them Bones. It's about to be every other Wednesday at this spot called the Jerk Shack. They do like Caribbean.
No jerks allowed though, right?
No jerks allowed. No jerks.
So sorry if any of you jerks got the wrong idea from reading that title.
We don't know any jerks.
We don't know any jerks. I don't know who I'm talking to.
Jerks.
I see you riding around on your motorcycle a lot.
Yes, I do ride a motorcycle. I do a night every third Thursday in West Seattle where I live at a pizza spot called Supreme. It's called Groove.
But you don't have to wait in line for it for the drop?
No.
Not that kind of Supreme.
No oh drops. No bass drops. All that.
Yeah, I'm so happy to have you here.
Definitely. It's great to be here.
I'm so thankful that you flew down for my pop-up.
Yo. The pop-up. Fire. Yo. Fuego.
Yo.
I'm still on fire.
So, are you ready to drop a food item today?
No, I'm not. But let's do it.
This week, we're going to do Vietnamese noodle soups.
Oh.
For DJ Fo Show.
I know about this topic.
I think you know a little bit about these.
I dabble.
A little bit too.
So you dabble for sure.
I dabble.
I slurp. So the three of them are Pho Ga, Bun Bo Huy, and Bun Ryu. Let's start with Dan
So Peace. Pho Ga. Bun Bo Huy.
Yeah.
And Bun Ryu.
Thank you. I had to get the... Sorry, I'm just a normal Chinese dude.
It's all good.
I don't have any flavor to that, so I need you to provide that.
That's so hard. Why are you doing this to me?
Flan just hates you today.
What's wrong with you, Flan?
He's just in the corner just like...
I thought we were friends. This is actually very easy for me.
Okay.
Pho Ga is going to stay... It's the easiest to make.
Actually, to take a step back, for the listeners that maybe have not had these items or don't know the correct or the proper translations of them, should we quickly talk about what three of them
are? You're
right. Pho Ga. I forgot. I got too emotionally invested first. I was like, wait, we got to tell people what these are first, too.
So pho gad, basically a chicken pho. Pho is a Vietnamese staple riced noodle soup.
Riced noodle?
Rice noodle. Sorry, I've had lots of Remy shots right now.
It's okay. It's okay. Sam's on vacation. It's okay.
Yes, I'm on vacation. We've been having Remy.
We are as well now.
Boom Bao Hui, a.k.a. BBH.
Yeah.
It's a spicy noodle soup.
Beef-based.
Beef-based. And then Bun Ryu, or Bun Ziu.
Was that the correct?
If you're from the north.
Okay.
So Bun Ziu is it's a crab tomato soup. All of them rice noodle. I appreciate that. Fuck. Okay.
Should we fuck the rules and like do the order? Because I feel like, again, you going last will be like a little more of like a heater this time.
All right.
Mine's not going to be as tight.
All right, Chavin, you go. I usually go last. You go.
So because I'm Chinese and I kind of got into Vietnamese food later, because in Sacramento, even though it was around, I wasn't able to go to it till like maybe at the earliest middle school did I actually start to really get exposed to it. Let's see here. It's tough. Because when you first think of pho, I think in the American sense, you think about maybe beef first. Because you think about it's like flashier, right? Because it comes with more stuff. It looks prettier because of the deeper color.
There's mad beef pho restaurants, and then like chicken pho is an afterthought.
Exactly. So, I mean, and I'm trying to be aware. I know I'm a product of that. Like, I was exposed to that kind of, you know, quote unquote marketing. So for me, I think I have to drop that first, just because until I hang out with you more, I have not had like a blow my mind, change my life one yet. I know I will the more we keep doing this, but every time I go.
I mean, you did, because you've had my chicken pho.
I have. So I'm talking as a whole again, though.
I mean,
there was also other additions to that, because I need to get into the other two as well, too.
Yeah.
You know, they're so appealing with like their deep flavors, and you hear the quote unquote like, oh, it's X amount of hours. And there's more time that goes into it. So if you go to a restaurant, you order it, you feel like there's more work being done. So it makes you appreciate it so much. And again, coming from an outsider perspective where I was kind of wooed by those things first, you know, often in this segment, we talk about nostalgia and things that like were there for you in the beginning. The other two were there for me first before the other one was. So,
okay. No, that's understandable.
When I go to a Vietnamese place, like I'm more likely going to get the other two I'm keeping versus pho ga.
Yeah.
And plus, I love artificial fake coagulated blood cubes.
So good.
So BBH is like the definite first, like must stay for me. Also, because you've heard through other exploits of the show, I'm an idiot and I love spicy food. That's the one that will hurt the most sometimes if you dress it the right way. So I'm trying to hurt when I do this kind of thing. So if I'm trying to hurt, that's the for sure stay. Bun Ryu or Bun, what's the northern pronunciation?
Bun Ziu.
Bun Ziu is the good second place. And then pho ga, the chicken. It's delicious, but if I'm presented all three, like if all three were presented to me, it'd be the last one I'd want to go for.
Okay.
All right, Sang.
That's fine.
Let's see. Fun fact, my last name is Pho, so. But don't try to steal my identity. Please don't. I'm going to say pho ga because.
It's going.
I was never a fan of it, even growing up when my parents would make it at home type of thing. The other ones are just too good. I don't know. I love Bun Ryu. It's like always fire when I have it. Like
out of the three, homemade. Could you say it can be the creamiest too, right? Is there a coconut milk in there sometimes or no?
No.
Okay.
No. It's a pork broth.
It's like a crab fat.
It's pork broth.
Okay.
It starts with pork broth and then crab.
So, and also two out of the three, I think it's the only one that traditionally has a cross between seafood and not seafood. It's almost like the only surf and turf out of the three as well, too.
Yeah.
And then Bun Bao Hui is, I always liked it because like, it's definitely like a special occasion. Like it's definitely one of those dishes that is hella special because it takes a good amount to build a good broth and all that stuff. So that is definitely my number one to keep.
Because would you say out of the three, it is probably the heaviest or the richest probably out of the three,
right? It's the richest, yeah. For sure.
Definitely. Definitely. The beef just comes out. And this trip for me has been, bitch, I'm a cow. So.
Hashtag, bitch, I'm a cow.
Bitch, I'm a cow.
Yes. Shout out to Doja Cat.
Holla at us.
All right. So, pho ga is staying for me. I really love pho ga. My mom's side of the family is from Hanoi, and that's our soup. Very simple and clean, nostalgic for me reasons as well. I love making it. What I like is that I can get a really good product in a shorter amount of time.
Would it be the fastest out of all the three as well?
Oh yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Like my beef pho broth is 17 hours and my chicken pho is like 3 to 4 hours. So yeah, chicken pho is staying for me. It's nostalgic and it's just something that's so fucking good. So good. Bunryu is staying for me as well, which means BBH is going for me.
Wow. Wow.
Growing up, it's never been a thing I super cared about.
Do you think that because of a regional thing? Or I mean, maybe
I
not.
No, I think it's great, but I never crave BBH. I never crave it. There's always something else that I'd rather get when I'm eating out for Vietnamese food.
Mm. I guess different perspective, you know, growing up, not Vietnamese, not having it till later. That is one of the things I do crave, which is why that's where my answer goes. But for someone that's had it their whole life,
yeah,
that makes a lot of sense too.
Yeah, chicken pho, fuck man. In Vietnam, like, so you always use, well, we call it running chicken. So it's organic chicken.
My brain went so many other dumb places. I'm like, what kind of shoes is it wearing?
Heritage chicken. It's okay. Just so good. That broth I can sip on for days.
So when I finally get to go with you, we'll have to like revisit this one and I'll have to probably change my answer. But until that gets to happen, that's where my answer like at least gets to be.
It's hard to fuck up chicken pho.
Yeah. Done in that way, right?
Yeah, it's so good.
Okay. That's good to know.
I'm very confident about dropping BBH.
Oh, ooh, with authority.
Because yeah, even like at like BBH restaurants. So like there's this place called Hue on in San Jose on Story, I think. I might be wrong.
Danny or Vu will get you on that. It's cool.
So they're known for their BBH and I've had it there, but when I go there, I get everything else but BBH.
Mm, interesting.
Their mee guang noodles, all their anchoy dishes. Mm. So good. So good.
Speaking about anchoy, I guess that means that's less of a chance I'll get to have a BBH from anchoy bep then, because I know it's not as high in the pecking order. So good to know out of this segment.
There's a lot of meals to be had. It could happen.
There are so many.
But. And to be honest, I've never made BBH before.
Oh,
so
maybe that'll change an answer too.
I have less attachment to
it. What if you come up with the most fire one ever though? Would that change your answer if you somehow came up with the most fire one you've ever had?
I mean, this answer is just for today.
Oh, that is true. We do document this place and time and where your food mind is at. So that's fair.
So that could change in the future if I make it.
Okay.
I've said I wanted to test it out before. I just haven't done it.
I mean, there's a whole next year. You just wrapped up a really good year with the concept. So.
Oh yeah, baby.
Oh yeah. No, I'm not going to even try. No. Thank you, Sang.
Actually, you right before recording, Sang was like, I can't wait to hear all the Chavin puns.
Oh, I feel even more. Well, I guess I'm glad I only know it now. Like, I feel like I would have been too pressured earlier. We did all your plugs earlier. Do you have anything else like you need to plug?
I do little clothing stuff, I guess. I don't know.
He's wearing some of it right now.
I got some for sale. You can follow me. Big Ass Cambodian.
Yep, so casual.
Big Ass Cambodian.
At Big Ass Cambodian.
At Big Ass Cambodian.
And shout out to your vacation. You just got tatted up today.
I did get tatted up today. Shout outs to Lewis Bicycle over at Haight and Ashbury.
Ooh, nice.
Tattoo and Piercing. Cool ass dude. He does these like Monday walk-in, like little special shit and just like tattoos a bunch of people. Until
walk in.
7 o'clock. Yeah. So, yeah.
And you got lucky. You were the second to last person today, right?
Yeah. When I got there, it was a crazy amount of people. I thought I was like, fuck, I'm not going to get tatted today. I'm going to have to come back again. And then luckily.
Aw, shucks.
You got to visit the Bay again.
Yeah. Aw, shucks. But I was lucky enough to be one of the folks that made the cut. So.
Luckily, cool. Lucky enough. I love that.
Yes, that's definitely. Awesome.
So if you want to see what these tats look like, follow at Big Ass Cambodian to see.
Thank you so much for being on our show.
Yes,
definitely.
And safe travels back to the north. We'll come visit you soon.
Yes, I'll try to blow away all the smoke from down here.
Oh, no, it'll go. It'll make its thing. It'll make its way. You just do your thing and we'll come visit you.
Got it.
Hey.
Hey guys, thank you so much for all the love and support that we receive from you.
You're so formal.
That's my catchphrase.
Hey man, yeah, it's kind of true. Even when we open the door to do this, it's always like along those lines.
Yes, follow us on IG, Sit Down Be Hungry. We have a SoundCloud, hit like and subscribe.
Yes, what's going on for you coming up?
A lot of DJ gigs, but I'm not a DJ.
That should be like the hashtag.
But like, I'm not a DJ.
Yeah, but I'm not a DJ.
And Friday night, we got Cuffin, SF.
Well, this will come out, I think, after this weekend it happened. So talk about what you did.
Cuffin, SF, Saturday night is Ladies Night at the Knockout. Mm-hmm. Jemp is going to be doing it.
Yo, shout out to Jemp. And, I'm a big fan of Jemp.
We're
going
to be with Chungi and Lil Shawnee.
Most people that have been on the show. So you've heard how they hear about how they feel about food. Come see how they play music.
Yeah. Yes. Sunday, Cold Cuts Music Club. Day party, stay gold.
Shout out to Cold Cuts.
Yes. You're going to leave us.
Well, actually, by the time this comes out,
You'll be out.
I'm in Paris right now. I'm not right now, but I will be in Paris.
Ninjas in Paris.
Yes. if I bring my mask. I got some good food recs, but if you have any more, let me know. Or if you want to come eat with me, let me know. I'm down to meet up. No one's going to listen to this probably right when it comes out that's in Europe, but I'll be in London tomorrow, aka my other favorite place. So if you want to meet up out there, I'll be making some rounds.
Jordan's trying to recruit St. John patrons.
Yes. I don't know if we're going to go for lunch or dinner, but I'm going to make the people I'm going with go because it's my favorite restaurant ever. I need more bone marrow, so that's why we're going. So please do that. When I return, we might check out this IDK Concepts holiday party.
Oh, I'm going.
Okay, let's go when I get back.
Yeah.
Shout out to Richie and Christian.
Christian, yep.
Yo, a lot of industry folks in the food game if you're trying to get up on some...
It's going
to
be at Pizza Hacker.
Yes.
Fire Pizza.
I mean, I've been a fan of all these people's works for years, so definitely looking into doing that and eating some good stuff there. Other really big friend of the show, Hedgin of Big Bad Wolf, is going to have her 3 anniversary this Friday.
Yep.
Tickets probably will be sold out by the time this comes out, so yep. That really sucks for you. You might have to do some really kind begging or exchange with somebody.
So yeah, this dinner is going to be a little bit different. It's going to be passed around bites.
Yes.
Instead of actual sit-down.
And no published menu. You just got to go and trust her. But if you've been to her dinners, you know you can trust her.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
So shout out to Hedge.
And Big Bad Wolf.
Yes. I mean, I'm in Paris right now. I'm currently going to a lot of the recommendations she gave me from when she lived out here. If you want to hear more about her when she lived in Paris, go listen to producer Flan's podcast, Conversating. She had a great episode about her time living in Paris and just being a creative. So, yeah, that's a lot to cover.
Yeah.
Go do some homework and then meet up with us afterwards. We'll see you guys next time.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Remy Boys and Girls Club. Should we take more shots before we go out?